This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, as we pray this Easter morning, we thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, but we thank you even more that the story didn't end on the cross, but that Jesus rose so that we could have new life and life in all its fullness. We pray for those this morning in our cities, towns, and neighborhoods who don't yet know you. We pray that they will come to know you, that the good news of Easter becomes real to them. I pray for each of us here this morning, God. I pray that you change our lives and change our hearts to be willing witnesses to those around us, sharing your word and showing your love. We also pray for those around the world who are worshipping you this morning, God. For those who are worshipping in hiding, God, we pray that you protect them. We thank you for their courage to keep worshipping you when the world seems against them. We pray for those who get to worship you in freedom like us this morning, God. We pray that we will never take that freedom for granted, and that we will use that freedom to go out and share you. God, we thank you that the very first Easter taught us that life never ends and love never dies. Help us to know that, not only in our heads, but in our hearts, God. Lord, help us to live in the gladness and grace of Easter Sunday, not just today, but every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 8, and is on page 884 of the Pew Bible. Luke 24, 1 to 8. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words.
Wonder if you know how many Easter eggs are going to be consumed this year. If you think it's roughly about 5 million, 10 million. What if I was to tell you it is between 80 to 90 million Easter eggs are going to be eaten this year. 80 to 90 million. We are going to, as a nation, spend £415 million on just consuming Easter eggs. And the average number of Easter eggs eaten by a child this Easter, and probably within this 24-hour period, is 8. And that's not counting the stuff you get with Easter eggs. I mean, that is some consumption. Me and my big brother used to have a competition over who had the most Easter eggs. And we'd always make sure we were down at Girls Brigade or Boys Brigade or Youth Club just before Easter, because you made sure you got your Easter egg and you brought it home. Look what I got. I got another Easter egg. Or you'd be really nice to the wee lady who lived in the bungalow next door. Look what I got. Another Easter egg. No, or you kind of dropped hints to your primary school teacher. You get Easter eggs at Easter, did you know that? And hoping that on the last day, when you went in and a lot of the kids didn't bother coming in for the half day, you got your Easter egg. And the other thing my brother and I did was we tried to make our Easter eggs last. Because there was nothing as satisfying as 2 weeks after Easter, bringing out another Easter egg. Look at this. Still got one to eat. Haven't quite finished it. And I'm sure with all these 8 Easter eggs or more, a lot of kids are going to be doing things like that, comparing how many Easter eggs do you have, how many do I have, do you still have any left? Have you eaten all of yours? But the thing about Easter is that as many Easter eggs as we can consume, it won't satisfy that hunger that the real message of Easter tells us can be satisfied. On one occasion, Jesus said that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. Jesus' death and resurrection satisfies our 3 great human hungers. Number 1, he satisfies our hunger for life beyond death. Most people don't want to think about death and certainly don't want to die. But the fact is, we will all at some point face death. We all long to survive beyond death, or better still, live forever, especially in a place that was without the troubles that we have in this world. But the message of Easter, the message of Jesus, is that only he, only in him can we find this and have this eternal life. This resurrection life that the Bible talks about, with a new heaven and a new earth and new resurrection bodies. Well, there'll be no more tears, no more crying, because there'll be no more pain and no more regrets. Jesus has given us just a glimpse of that eternal life and what is possible with him whenever he rose from the dead. The second thing Jesus satisfies is our hunger for meaning and purpose in life. At some point, everyone asks the question, what am I doing here on earth? They ask the question, what is the point to life? What is the point to my X number of years that I have or I've got left? Is there any purpose to life? But what we have in Jesus is not only the author of life, but when he rose from the dead, he showed himself to be the author of eternal life. Until we are living in a relationship with Jesus, we'll never find that true meaning, that true purpose of life. Other things can satisfy for a while, like Easter eggs and food and work and money and holidays. But they all at some point come to an end. Only in our relationship with God, only there, the one who created us knows why we are created and wants to share that purpose with us and wants us to enjoy that purpose. And the third and final great human hunger that Jesus came to satisfy is the hunger for forgiveness. If we're honest, we could admit that we all do things wrong. We get things wrong. There's things we say we shouldn't say. There's things that we've left unsaid. There's things we do we shouldn't do. There are things that we've left undone. Sometimes we do things of which we are deeply ashamed. And more than that, let's be honest, there's a self-centeredness in each of our lives that looks to self above others. We even see it in nations. Whenever we pursue our own nations, it's because it comes out of a pursuit for just self. On one occasion, Jesus said these words. He says, "What comes out of you is what makes you unclean." He was having a conversation with some religious leaders at the time who were criticizing Jesus for what he was eating, what he was putting into himself, and who he was hanging around with. But Jesus says, no. It's what comes out of you that is unclean. It's from within your hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All of these things come from inside. They start in here. And that's what makes you unclean. That's what Jesus said on one occasion. Because he knows our greatest need is for forgiveness. And by his death on the cross, he made that forgiveness possible. And then whenever he rose from the dead, he revealed to us that that forgiveness is so that we can enjoy a life forever with God. Do you know, we may hunger after chocolate eggs today, and to be honest, watching Isabel and Noe eat them this morning, I was salivating. I can't wait to have mine. I haven't had one yet. But only Jesus can satisfy our hunger. Our hunger for life eternal. Our hunger for purpose and meaning. And our hunger for forgiveness. This is the good news of Easter.
The reading is from John 20, verses 11 to 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
Well, let's think for a moment just about the question Jesus asked. He asked, "Who is it you're looking for?" Not what are you looking for, but who. See, you and I were created for a relationship. And the primary relationship, the key relationship, is our relationship with God. Until we find and enjoy that relationship, there'll always be something missing. There'll always be a deep hunger, like a thirst for something more. As a result, we'll be aware of an emptiness inside. People try to fill this emptiness in various of ways. Some try to fill it with money. And yet, one of the richest men ever, Aristotle Onassis, whose wealth was probably around the same amount of money that we are going to spend on Easter eggs, 450 million. He said, "Millions do not always add up to what a man needs out of life." There's something wise there, but there's also something quite sad. Because he said this at the end of his life, after having gained all of this wealth. He married one of the most beautiful women in the world, Jackie Onassis. He had what everybody would think is everything. And yet one of the last things he said in an interview was, "Millions do not always add up to what a man needs out of life." Others try alcohol. Others try work, sex, music, sport, or seek success, or seek fame. There may not be anything wrong in these things in themselves, but they don't satisfy that deep human hunger, that deep human need. Even the closest relationships, wonderful though they are, do not last. And they do not add up to what we need. So the question Jesus asks Mary when he meets her in the garden, when she goes down to the tomb to see Jesus, isn't, what are you looking for, Mary? It was, who are you looking for? And she doesn't realize when she looks into the empty tomb. She thinks the Romans have taken the body. She thinks this is just adding to the disgrace of her Lord. And as she walks away, she encounters who she thinks is the gardener, but is actually her Lord Jesus Christ. And she finds who she is looking for. As I said earlier, on one occasion Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. You see, Jesus' life and death and resurrection provides us everything that we need. Those three key human needs. The need in each one of us for this life to be forever. The need and hunger in each one of us for purpose and meaning. And the need and hunger in each one of us for forgiveness. Jesus eventually gave us the Holy Spirit to fill this emptiness, this void, to meet this need. And this is the gospel, this is the good news, and this is what we celebrate today. Let's stand, and we're going to declare our Christian faith and the good news as we say together the Apostles' Creed. Let's stand. Please say with me, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, unborn of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now may the power of God that brought Jesus back from the dead equip you and give you all that you need. And may the Holy Spirit reveal through you to the world the great love of the Father God. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.